everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Tom, we lost Prince Philip, 99 years old, a full century. And I think, you know, after watching the series The Crown, it really kind of brought to life that character.
Yeah, they were married, what, 72 years?
Yeah, 70 years. So Prince Philip is gone. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It is Friday, April the 9th, 2021. We're here on 1030, Tucson's source for trusted news talk. Our call letters are KVOI, The Voice. We are now well into year number 11 on the radio, and we have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Our media partners, like to say a big thank you to them, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith and his organization, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Dan Shear. Thank you, Dan. Jim Ninsel over at the Tucson Weekly and the group that the Weekly is part of. That's the Tucson Local Media Group. They have the Weekly. They have Inside Tucson Business, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today with me in studio. Yes, he's fully vaccinated, as am I, and we are welcoming guests back into the studio, Fletcher McCusker. Fletcher is the chair of the Rio Nuevo District downtown Tucson's Revitalization Board. Rio Nuevo is a tax increment finance district. It's known as a TIF that is funded by a share of state sales tax dollars and held accountable to the Arizona State Legislature for the use of those funds. It was back in 1999 that voters approved the creation of the district that allows the funds to be reinvested into the community to create a dynamic city center. Fletcher McCusker is credited with spearheading much of the development downtown since moving the headquarters of the Providence Servants Corporation, a $1 billion company that he founded. He moved that group to downtown Tucson, and it was quite a stimulus. Fletcher's latest venture is something called UA Ventures, a venture capital fund designed to commercialize University of Arizona science, technology, services, and products. And earlier this year, Fletcher received the Arizona Business Leader of the Year Award. Fletcher, how are you?
I'm doing great. I think this is the second time, Bill, I've been out of my house in 12 months.
So. Wow. Well, let's go now on the live line to someone who is still in her home office with her wonder dog, Olivia, right there with you, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star and opinion page editor. Sarah, how are you today?
I am doing well, thank you. My big news at my home office is that Desert Tortoise Dorothy came out of hibernation on Sunday.
So wow.
Very exciting.
And where did she spend her hibernating months?
Actually, in a paper bag in the living room.
And then Olivia in our past interviews has been quite vocal, but sounds like we've hit on a very quiet day.
Yeah. I gave her lots of treats before this. So she's having a nap.
There you go. All right, Fletcher. So, it seems like downtown is moving along with the construction projects. And not just a few, but a big dollar amount that's involved here.
We've approved over $500 million of new projects during the pandemic year. It's a total surprise to us. It's unexpected. It's quite extraordinary. It involves a lot of people that are from out of town and out of state. And for whatever reason, they've identified Tucson as the place they want to invest post-pandemic.
Timing is everything in life, and if this pandemic had hit 6 months earlier, we might be talking about a very different story about downtown.
I think to a large extent, and most of it's financed by commercial lenders, so you know they were committed and funded, you know, when we started to go dark. you didn't have any choice but to complete your project. If they were still in underwriting, I think you would have seen some loans not approved. That includes the loan for the Tucson Convention Center remodel. And we've been able to use the time we've been dark to accelerate that renovation.
Have we lost any projects?
We haven't lost any. We've had some slow down. But so far, knock on, what's this, poor Mike?
There might be some wood in there somewhere on the table.
Nothing's canceled.
Sarah, that's surprising to me. Is it surprising to you?
It is. Yeah, I think sort of, I mean, everything about the pandemic has been surprising, but I, yeah. I do find that. You know, that life has changed in so many ways, but life has also gone on in so many ways. And I think just looking around, it seems like every time I drive downtown, I'm seeing something new going up or being finished. And is that perception kind of reality, Fletcher?
Absolutely. And it surprises a lot of people because there's been very little traffic downtown for a year. Most of the restaurants have been closed. The arts venues, the Fox, the Rialto, the Convention Center, the Symphony, they've all been dark. And, you know, people wander down, or a lot of people came down to get vaccinated and were shocked to see the activity, particularly around the TCC. But, you know, the DoubleTree just opened up last weekend, the new DoubleTree right there at the TCC, spectacular property. And we see a lot of inbound interest from hotel operators and developers from around the country.
The number of restaurants that have closed, can you give us kind of an overview of what the dining scene looks like now compared to a year ago?
Well, we were quite troubled because three of our most iconic restaurateurs went out of business. Janos Wilder closed the Downtown Kitchen. Susanna closed Cafe Pocacosa. We were all devastated and heartbroken. Elvira's was right behind that. Cafe Milano is closed. And they were huge attractions to downtown diners. For every restaurant that's closed, a new one is right behind them. The Parish took over Janos's old space. They're remodeling that. And what the pandemic has produced is this newfound interest in outdoor dining. So if you've driven down Congress recently, you'll see everyone now has an outdoor cafe. It's very Parisian. At the old Janos location, that entire parking lot now will be outdoor dining.
That's the new trend, isn't it? I mean, that's a trend that has emerged that I think is here to stay.
We think it's here to stay. Right now, everything's under some sort of temporary permit, but both the state and the city are talking about moving those to permanent easements so you can continue to have outdoor dining experiences. We've yet to go through a summer with that, you know, but if you go downtown now, particularly weekends for lunch, you can't get in one of the downtown restaurants, and the sidewalks are overflowing.
Sarah, go ahead.
I had a question about office space, and I mean, so many companies and employers have, including my own, have, you know, have workers now working from home. And I'm curious what the outlook is for employers who are downtown, if you're seeing any change in opening up office space.
It's slow. We talked to TEP last week. They have 800 employees. They're still remote. That dramatically affects, you know, downtown luncheon business and people that linger, you know, after work. I think they're gradually beginning to reopen their office. The huge project, Sarah, at 75 East Broadway will have multiple floors of new office, and that project appears to be going forward. So that's financed out of Boston, and they seem comfortable that there will still be office demand in Tucson.
Will there
and
be a...
How, you
go
meant,
ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Sarah, go ahead. It's my fault. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. It's hard when we're not in the same room.
It is.
You mentioned that, you know, so much of the investment is from out of town. How is that something Rue Nuevo is doing, promoting Tucson as, you know, across the country? I know there was a time, New York Times article on this April 6th about how Tucson is one of a few mid-sized cities poised to rebound faster because of our, and I'm quoting, they have developed strong relationships with their local economic development groups.
Yeah, I wish we could take credit for that. I wish we could take credit for that. It's been totally accidental and unsolicited. The New York Times was doing a story on cities that are rebounding and cities that are planning for the rebound. And in checking with people, they kept hearing Tucson, Tucson, Tucson. So they started talking to us. That resulted in that interview. We've seen a lot of inbound press interest. I think a Dutch magazine is flying in here this week or next week to do a story on Tucson's recovery. And all the things that we used to be concerned about, the lack of public transit, the fact that we're so dispersed, these have all become assets now, in a post-pandemic environment.
What were the other cities named in that article? There were four, correct?
Yeah, Boise, Portland, Austin, and Tucson. Mm.
And what do all of those have in common, do you think? Boise kind of seems like the great outdoors.
Yeah, an interest in young people, right. Millennials and younger, tech. You know, you see a lot of tech in Austin, and now Tucson has our fair share of technology companies, startups, inbound workers, and you're right, outdoors. There's a chance to be outside a lot.
You know, Tucson has the downtown area. For years, we've talked about a downtown convention hotel. We've had, $65 million in improvements just to the TCC. I took a look at that. I had my two COVID shots were administered at the TCC. The TCC is looking really good these days. And well, now with the hotel, the DoubleTree right there, that's a very attractive property.
Yeah, give us a year and it'll be unrecognizable. We think it'll become our Lincoln Center. Mm. All the plazas and those water features are going to be restored. We have 16,000 square feet of new meeting rooms coming up, another garage. It's really going to be a spectacular small venue. One of the things, again, that the pandemic has enlightened us, we're hearing from conventioneers that future conventions might be hybrid. So there might be 1,500 people here and 1,500 people online. So we're having to really step up the technology at the TCC. Right now, you can't get a cell phone signal, but we're going to have to be able to handle a gaming conference or something really high tech. So we're investing about $10 million, Bill, into technology.
Wow. We're going to take a break right here. We will be back with Fletcher McCusker and Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. But right now I want to tell everybody about my favorite bakery in town. Why don't you find out what all the excitement is about up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They have been very busy. And speaking of outdoor dining, they've got that patio there and so many people utilizing it. We were up there this morning and feasted on one of their giant blueberry muffins. I'm sorry, Tom Fairbanks. I should have brought you one, but right now you've got your lunch there. I see a bag. You've got some fries that still need to be eaten. So anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery, their website, monasdanishbakery.com. And if you're looking for a great opportunity and you want to work at a great place, they have the Help Wanted sign out at Mona's. Just say, Bill Buckmaster suggested that I drop by and talk about employment at Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back with Fletcher McCusker in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks. A modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our guests on the live line appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On the live line is Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star, where she is the opinion page editor and columnist. With me in studio, good to see him again in studio, Fletcher McCusker. And Fletcher, the Rio Nuevo District was on life support at one point. And I was kind of reflecting with you during the break about former Mayor Bob Walkup, now the late Mayor Bob Walkup, and how I think history will remember Bob Walkup very fondly for being almost the father of the revitalized Rio Nuevo.
So the economic boom that we're experiencing now would not exist except for the early days of Rio Nuevo and the streetcar. That's the irony of all this. It ran amok, you know, but you know, I believe that was at the staff level, not necessarily at the mayor or even the city council level. Too many people had authority to spend money, and there was no accountability, no checks and balances for that. So it evolved now. We're still the only TIF in the state, but I think you'll see others now because of the success of Rio Nuevo.
And how close were we to closing the door on Rio Nuevo?
I think there was legislation introduced in 2010 to terminate it. And a couple of local legislators said, look, rather than terminate it, why don't we take it over? And at least we have a chance of paying ourselves back. I don't think they had any idea it would thrive.
Let's go now to Sarah Garrett Gasson. Go ahead, Sarah.
Fletcher, you're someone who every time it seems that I hear your name, you're doing something different and interesting and forward thinking. Could you talk a bit about, I'm curious about your thought process as, are you a serial entrepreneur type of person? How do you get involved in all these different projects? Are you someone who gets bored easily?
I am an insomniac, so a lot of things come to me about 3:30 in the morning, and people always tease me to, you know, set the clock on your computer, and I go, no, that really was from me at 3:30. And my wife will tell you that I really don't believe in plan Bs. So when you launch something, I've always believed you give it your all. And that's really what we've done with my businesses and with downtown. And I think the reason that that's become attractive is we've chosen to partner. Sarah, it's always been about aligning yourselves with smart people.
And you also have been very successful with a new radio station that signed on in downtown. Has it been out, what, a year and a half or two years?
2 years. Two years. August. Yeah. That we moved into my old office at Providence. Mm-hmm. That was some interesting karma. And launched a station targeting baby boomers, which apparently I am now one. You know, so it's resonated with a very strong base of listeners. We're having fun.
And you grew up in a modest family. We've talked about this before. You did not grow up in a very in a wealthy household, did you?
No, I mean, modest would have been above our means. We ate a lot of goulash and
peanut butter and
tuna
jelly
casserole. My mother, bless her heart, was married 5 times, and she was mentally ill and drugged me around with my sisters through all that. And I credit the University of Arizona with giving me the ticket out.
Mm. What turned it around for you in your life?
College. You know, I aspired to do something, and I was hired immediately out of school. And again, just gave every job I ever had, everything I had, and I got lucky.
Yeah, and Sarah brings up an interesting, you do wear several hats usually at the same time, and this project that you have embarked upon, the UA Ventures, you've got some very exciting projects that are in the portfolio, a dozen or so. One of them has to do with pain medication.
Yeah, this university has always been a very robust research institution. Mm-hmm. But historically, most people don't appreciate our faculty could not benefit from their inventions. That's changed, and President Robbins has a lot to do with that. He's an inventor. He has patents. He came out of Stanford. So he asked me to help them commercialize our technology. And we now have 15 companies that we've invested in that each one by themselves, Bill, will change the world. And last year alone, this university issued 275 patents. Hmm. You know, so Tucson is about to make its mark at a variety of levels. And, you know, I found myself kind of in the confluence of a lot of that.
Could you, in those 15 projects I mentioned, a very promising, there's a promising pain medication. What are some of the other ones generally?
New 5G cellular antenna, liquefied carbon fiber, which can replace a pylon and a bridge without demolishing the bridge. It also can be used intercorpus inside your body as a cast. Mm. That's a U of A invention. Augmented reality glasses, a new handheld eyeglass prescription reader.
Wow.
This is all coming off of our university campus.
Pat has been waiting very patiently on the live line. Pat, you're with Fletcher McCusker.
Thank you. My question is, does Tucson, is it getting a bum rap as being unfriendly to business enterprises coming in into the state and into the city? I hear that on various talk radio shows that they're very unwell.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
We have some issues that other states don't have with the Arizona gift clause prohibition. So this state cannot be very aggressive in granting incentives to anyone that wants to relocate here. Rio Nuevo is exempt from that, which is why we've been very instrumental in places like Caterpillar and Hexagon Mining. But generally, states around us, Alabama, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, have huge incentive packages. So when a company is looking to relocate, Arizona doesn't look very friendly because we don't have a lot of economic incentives. We're starting to see people look beyond that now to lifestyle issues, quality of life, and again, the whole post-pandemic phenomenon. Sun Corridor will tell you they have never had more inbound interest in Tucson than they do today.
Hmm. Would the incentives help a lot?
They would be huge for us. It would make us competitive with particularly Colorado and New Mexico, states that are nearby. There's a lot of companies leaving California. And if we could be more aggressive, I think we would land more than our fair share of those.
Including the film industry.
The film, we have no incentives for film.
No, it's hard to believe.
They fly over us
to
New Mexico to film, a story shot in Tucson.
Yeah, I just saw a movie, News of the World, which is just came out. It was shot entirely in the Santa Fe area. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, go ahead.
What do you see on, I know there's a lot going on, what do you see beyond the next, 5 years for Tucson? What do you think is on the longer range horizon?
Rio Nuevo is limited geographically, so we'll be built out here in a few years. And my job is, and the Rio Nuevo boards in that regard will be done. I think there are opportunities to create other Rio Nuevos for the south side, for Grant Road, for Miracle Mile, for the far east side. And hopefully, as we think about how we can maximize our tax dollars, I think the state would be more welcome now to a TIF in other areas of our city that could produce economic development like we've done in the Rio Nuevo geography.
We've not talked about the arts, which are a cornerstone of downtown, the Fox, the Rialto Theater. The Fox has been dark, and so what happens now? How do we get people back in seats, and how do they feel comfortable about it?
Well, like it or not, the Save Our Stages stimulus will save those theaters.
Really?
It's huge for both of them. They would probably otherwise be shuttered. But they're going to collect millions of dollars, literally, under the current rescue grants to stay open. We don't expect to see live shows until probably October, and then they'll probably be reduced capacity. But the fact that they can survive is only because of these federal stimulus dollars.
What about the debt that the Fox had? Will that be pretty much absorbed with this federal money?
That debt's to us.
Yeah.
So we've basically standing still on that to give them time to recover.
And what is that debt?
It's $500,000,
$600,000. Mm-hmm. Do you think this money will help in a long way to fully recover that?
Yeah, I think both of these theaters are going to come back strong. Kathy Rivers is now running the Rialto, and Bonnie Schock is moving here from Minneapolis to take over the Fox. I think people are so pent up that when we can go back to a concert, we're going to thrive. And those two venues, I think, will become, bookends of downtown.
Sarah, go ahead.
With all the development and the people coming in and the different hotels, how do you keep the flavor of what makes Tucson Tucson without it becoming just sort of homogenized and looking like any other, like Mill Avenue or any other sort of downtown or popular area? How do you keep that Tucson flavor?
We're at risk for that, Sarah, because we don't really have design standards or zoning that would prohibit certain projects. I think we've seen a saturation of student housing, and most of them are not very aesthetic. The city council's wrestling with a lot of this now. As we look at the so-called Sunshine Mile on Broadway, we are building a design review process into that new zoning that hopefully could address some of the aesthetics. We've been really lucky that most of the developers that are interested in Tucson share our cultural values. But there's really nothing that would prevent someone from building something you would see in Dallas or Phoenix or, you know, Seattle or Portland. So I think it's incumbent on us as we think about economic development to make sure we breathe in some of those cultural aspects. On the Sunshine Mile, we're also looking at incentivizing affordable housing, because that's been a huge challenge as these high-rent market-rate apartment complexes get built. You know, we think they should have some level of affordability.
Because you're looking at you haven't really captured the Spanish colonial look that much in these new buildings, have you?
We have nothing to do with their aesthetics.
No.
We don't require them to look a certain way or build at a certain scale.
Uh-huh.
We look almost exclusively, Bill, at the economics.
Mm-hmm.
What revenue will this produce? What incremental taxes will the taxpayer benefit? And then they go through the city and county's typical process when they design a building or a renovation.
Let's see if we can squeeze another call in here. Amy would like to go on the air with Fletcher McCusker. Go ahead, Amy.
Thank you. Do you think companies might want to come here if they fear for the safety of their families when police safety is so low?
Okay, it's a pretty good question about law enforcement. Go ahead, Fletcher.
We see some nervousness from inbound companies around crime and police safety. And, of course, the department's been very public about the number of officers we're down. We see similar concerns around school and education. So it's not all rosy right now. And, you know, I think, you know, the more we can do to improve what Tucson Googles, we will be better at attracting people who are concerned about safety, crime, education, roads, some of the things we all know are drawbacks to living here. There's been very little done to improve any of that. The coincidence that the pandemic has created has very little to do with our improvement in those kind of core services.
Would it be Rio Nuevo's role to speak up about this publicly before the council and these budget meetings?
We have no influence, really. We share our opinion. I just did.
Sure.
But I think we have a city council and a mayor that's particularly determined to save our city. They were really concerned a year ago about their own economics. It didn't turn out for them to be as nearly as bad as people thought. So it's going to require all of us to rethink how we raise and spend money in the future. Tucson's going to be very different 5 years from now.
And education is such a big part of that. And Sarah, of course, your pet project, early childhood education, that could be a factor when folks look to relocate to our area, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Do you hear any of that? Or are you in a position to hear, Fletcher, what the different corporations and employers are looking for?
We hear it a lot from lenders who are concerned about the viability of a project and do deep due diligence dives. And the questions are usually around the topics we just raised. You know, your crime rate seems unusually high per capita. We hear nothing but bad stuff about your roads. What's up with that? You know, your education system seems to rank very poorly. So we have to address those anytime a company's looking at coming inbound, anytime a lender is looking at financing a project. And so far, the economics have outweighed some of those core issues that a great city would address.
All right, we're going to let you go. Fletcher McCusker, thank you very much. Good to catch up with you. Stay safe. Good to see you in person.
Thank you. Sarah, you be safe, too.
All right.
You too. Thanks.
And Sarah, stick around. I've got a few things for you after we take our break in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Hey, that's me, Bill Buckmaster, in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our thanks to Fletcher McCusker for a very interesting 40 minutes talking about downtown and some other issues as well. Sarah Garrett Gasson joined me in that interview. Sarah is the opinion page editor at the Arizona Daily Star, also columnist. And overall, I think downtown is looking pretty good, but the red flags certainly that we touched on there, Sarah, are the crime issue, education. These are something the city is going to have to address.
Absolutely. And it's something that has plagued the, you know, Tucson in general for a long time. And it's also with education, K-12 education, not something that the city or the county has a direct, you know, in some places the local school districts are run by the city or the county, and that's not the case here. So it's longstanding problems, complicated problems that need innovation and money and some new ways of thinking about things, I think,
to really make a dent in them.
And that leads me to immigration. We keep talking, and it's cyclical. It seems like, you know, now everybody's talking about a crisis on the border. And that piece that was in the Star today and on the opinion page by Francisco Lara Garcia, who is a highly respected sociology professor at Columbia University, made a lot of sense to me. And if I may share just one paragraph, as the immigration reform debate picks up steam, Mr. Lara Garcia writes, "It's crucial that policymakers remember their task is not just to determine whether and how to let people through the door. A sensible immigration system must also address how we want immigrants to interact with American society once they are here." That made a lot of sense to me, and it just seems like we go round and round on this immigration issue and have been for decade after decade, Sarah.
Absolutely. It's something that, we talk about the border and policy in terms of what various presidential administrations do or don't do at the border. But for any real change, Congress is going to have to actually get involved and act and do something that is more than picking individual issues, you know, only the sort of sensational part of the problem, you know, the photographs and the video of people coming. It's you have to get way beyond that and get into how society will look. What needs to change? What doesn't need to change? What are the expectations? And how do we grow as communities with various, you know, different people headed our way? It's so much more than just a photo op at the border. And I'm sure, Bill, you're equally as frustrated as seeing the same, you know, you can interchange the the faces and the titles, but the stories are still the same. We need Congress to act.
We've been talking about it. I've been in town 33 years, and it's the issue that just never goes away, and it's all reactionary, and we don't want to take a deep dive into the weeds on it, but we really should. Sarah, before I wrap it up with you, in the political notebook today in the Star, there are eight candidates vying for two council races. Ward 5, by the way, Richard Fimbres, will be unopposed. And there's an elephant in the room here, and that is the state Supreme Court has yet to rule whether or not we'll even have a city election this year, or whether it will be kicked into the next year, the even-numbered years. So that's still hanging over this whole issue.
It really is, and it's sort of like, maybe this isn't the best analogy, but it's sort of like you build the boat in case the flood comes. So you have to keep going through the motions of having, preparing for an election, and then it could all be postponed a year, as you said, because of the Supreme Court. But it's not like you can just wait and see, because as a candidate, you have to get out there, you have to campaign, you have to do all the things you have to do. You just don't know when the actual finish line will be.
Yep, that finish line. And you would think that the Supreme Court would make some kind of ruling on this, because the clock is certainly ticking as we get now almost into May. All right, Sarah, what's coming up in the Arizona Daily Star over the weekend?
On the opinion page, we have a very interesting piece by local Republican Ethan Orr, who has started to write regularly for us, and I'm excited about that. He's writing about unions and Amazon and workers, and he has an interesting take on it. We also have another local regular columnist, Renee Schaefer Horton. She's writing about going back to church, her family going back to church as, you know, mask mandates have changed and all of that, and sort of what that experience is like. So we have a good piece tomorrow by Gail Hartman, writing about the Rosemont possible expansion and HUD Bay's plans for the Santa Ritas and the Rosemont Mine.
All right, sounds interesting. And as far you brought this up, kind of about office space, and at the Arizona Daily Star, you guys are still working remotely. There'll be a change, I guess. Eventually, folks may come in for a couple of days. Is that kind of the way you think it's going to work out?
Yeah, we're going to have two locations, one northwest behind the Costco, and another in the west of the highway in the downtown area. But it's not going to be a newsroom like we're used to. It's going to be more come in for a meeting. If you want to work, bring your laptop, you know, plug in, plug out, take your stuff with you. It's going to be different. And so while I will greatly miss the camaraderie and just vibe of a busy, vibrant newsroom, it's all about change.
It is, Sarah. And as you get vaccinated, hopefully we'll get you here back in the studio. It'd be good to see you again.
It sure would. Right. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks very much. Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. Next up, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Our Liveline guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Weekend Watch is next. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Time to stir it up with our Weekend Watch, hosted by Matt Russell. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City. They're ready now for you. Out-of-state visitors, welcome again in the land of enchantment. Just a three-hour drive to the cool country as we heat up. It's always so delightful at that 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation over in Silver City. Start your planning. Southwest New Mexico, spell it out, .org for where to stay and what to do. And there are no shortage of what to do in that beautiful area. Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, all-around nice guy with us on Weekend Watch. Matt, how are you?
Well, I am doing just great, Bill. You know, if I had a beer in my hand, I'd be perfect.
Oh,
so I'll just let a few more hours tick tock until the weekend officially begins.
any local brewers that we should know about celebrating anniversaries?
Yeah, you know what? It really says a lot about small businesses when they reach their 10th anniversary. And if it's in this competitive brewery market, it says a whole lot more. I say, let's raise a pint and say happy 10th anniversary to Borderlands Brewing Company, where the party will be going all weekend long. Now, at the center of the celebration are three commemorative beers, including a pineapple jalapeno ale, a cranberry sour, and a watermelon blonde, each of which I think sounds perfect for enjoying in these warmer temps. Borderlands is downtown at 119 East Tool. And all of the anniversary info is at borderlandsbrewing.com.
Hey, I'm all into 10 years. Our anniversary was a few months ago, so that's quite a milestone. Whatever business you're in. yeah, food can be wild, can't it, Matt?
Indeed. You know, food fads come and go, of course, but they say that wild foods are forever. Bill, did you know that the Sonoran Desert has 450 edible varieties of wild foods? I mean, it's amazing when you think about it. Yeah, and the Arizona Historical Society is going to be hosting a virtual event tomorrow from 2 to 3 to learn from people who teach and write about these foodways, as well as some local chefs and brewers who create cuisine and libations from these wild foods. It's all presented live on Zoom, and all the information and a registration link can be found at arizonahistoricalsociety.org for this really wild time with wild foods tomorrow afternoon.
That is so wildly surprising. I just cannot believe it. 450. Wow. All right. This is an opening we've been waiting for, Matt.
The highly anticipated opening of Flora's Market Run. It happened just days ago in the old Rincon Market location on 6th Street and Tucson Boulevard. Heavy traffic patterns have already been observed. Now, the new owners have preserved this historic nature of the Rincon Market while really bringing in some gorgeous new touches to this neighborhood marketplace. We're talking about a specialty grocery, local coffee, local produce. They're bringing fresh fish in every day. They have an on-site bakery and butchery with beer and wine and so much more. And check it out. In the weeks ahead, a brand new restaurant and bar will be unveiled, making even more of this Flora's story. I say run, don't walk this weekend to Flora's Market Run and shop till you drop, Bill.
I just can't wait. That is such an iconic location, so it'd be fun to get back over to that location. What's coming up in the column in Inside Tucson Business?
Well, I ask you, Bill Buckmaster, what do clothespins, antique teapots, and Mayan totems all have in common?
I would not know where to begin.
Well, they're all part of the cocktail culture at downtown's hot new restaurant, El Mesquite, in the new DoubleTree Hilton TCC Hotel, and I reveal that story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Yeah, we were just talking with Fletcher McCusker about that property. It is apparently wonderful downtown. So
it's extraordinary. Beautiful views of the old barrio and the patio. A great place for happy hour.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Back at you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music that you hear at the beginning of the program by Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rose Brandt and everyone here at KVOI, including my longtime engineer, producer Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, all of us wishing you a very safe and pleasant weekend.